Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Welcome to the Chad and Cheese, HR's most dangerous podcast. I'm Chad. Water makes you weak, so wash.
And I'm Jenny, not Cheeseman, Cody Kangas.
And on this week's show, Europe is hungry. The world will soon be over now that Google's version of Skynet is alive. Microsoft is kinder and gentler. And who knew business coaching was so damned important? Who knew? Strap in, kids. This is going to be a bumpy ride.
What did you say?
You need a water break.
You need a water break. Water is for cowards. Water makes you weak. Water is for washing blood off that uniform, and you don't get no blood on my uniform. Boy, you must be outside your mind.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey. Kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener. Get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos.
All right, Jenny. While Joel wanders the Canadian plains, petting moose and trying to convince Canadian geese to stay in Canada, we are honored to have Jenny Cody Kangas, a.k.a. JCK, stepping into the guest host position this week. Give it up for JCK. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. It's always a pleasure to have conversations with you, and I hope I can fill Joel's shoes.
Say more about me. Don't worry about Joel. For anybody who hadn't heard you on Chad and Cheese before, give us a little Twitter bio. Who is JCK?
Sure. So I am an HR tech practitioner, or HR industry practitioner, who's been in the space for several years. In March of 2020, I hit my head and had to relearn everything over again. And so it's allowed me to look at the space a little bit differently, sometimes a little bit more candidly than others.
You've called that a blank slate before. To you, how has that helped? To me, it would clean out some damn clutter, that's for sure. But for you, how do you think that's helped?
So I think the biggest way that it's helped, honestly, Chad, is what worked before 2020 doesn't work today. And so I lost my design bias for what good looked like and could really just look at what was going on in the current moment, be able to get crystal clear on what that was, and then reverse engineer to go solve for it. And I did so without having those, I guess, preconceived notions of, again, what success looked like. And in the war for talent, when what historically has worked hasn't, it's allowed me to help get it right.
It's refreshing to speak with you because you don't have that bias of decades and you start the design process from now and you look at what's in front of us as opposed to what's behind us. And at your last company, watching some of the tech, some of the processes that you've actually built with some of the vendors in the space is incredibly refreshing and, to be quite frank, rejuvenating. So we are very happy to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. And now today I have, as Matt Charney would said, joined the dark side and have moved over to the vendor side from being a practitioner. And I joined an assessment company, which is kind of ironic because I have despised assessments my entire career, but came across one that was universally designed and the process was so incredible. I couldn't just endorse it. I had to go help tell its story. So I am the VP of marketing at Plup.
Awesome. Well, that's, my friends, if you want to learn more, you can go to LinkedIn, connect with JCK. I'm sure she'd be more than happy to connect with you, but we need to move on because it's time for shout outs. So being the guest, you get the first shout out. Who do you want to give a shout out to?
Absolutely. So my first shout out is going to go to the Plum team. We spent last week in Waterloo, Ontario.
Wait a minute. Did you guys meet up with Joel and I wasn't there?
Yeah, we were feeding moose. I you didn't get the memo?
I'm probably not allowed in Canada. That's the problem.
Well, most people weren't allowed in Canada, which is probably the problem, because the Toronto airport was quite a experience. But it was also a reminder of the raging talent war that we are experiencing. But the shout out goes to the Plum team. We spent the week, like I said, in Waterloo, Ontario. The first day that we all spent together was actually at a camp and a YMCA camp. And again, with my head injury, I've had to relearn everything over again. And so I got to throw a frisbee, shoot a bow and arrow, go on a ropes course where I figured out that I'm actually not afraid of heights, which is pretty cool. And it was just awesome. And it was so great to be able to meet the team in person.
Awesome. We get a chance after being locked in to finally get out. And this is a new team, of course, but still getting a chance to get out there and meet the new team. My first shout out goes to Robot Proof Recruiter version 2 by our friend and my birthday twin, Katrina Collier. That's right, kids. In a world of RPA, AI, ML, NLP, and a bunch of other scary-ass acronyms, how can you as a recruiter or manager evolve? I am personally truly humbled that Katrina asked me to write the foreword. So check it out. You can pre-order it wherever you buy books. Again, the Robot Proof Recruiter, the newest version is coming out. You can get your pre-order soon. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny because TalkPush CEO Max Armbruster, he said on LinkedIn this morning that with every purchase of a TalkPush platform, or probably more like a recruiter seat, he will include a copy of the Robot Proof Recruiter version 2. That, kids, is a damn smart play, knowing that they play in the RPA and AI space.
Hell yeah!
I love that. I am absolutely adding that one to my must get list.
Who else you got?
Oh, I have a shout out to Alexa. Chad, I hired an Alexa for the summer.
You don't hire an Alexa. You buy Alexa. That, what are you talking about?
Well, my nanny for the summer, Chad, her name is Alexa. And so Miss Alexa has started this week at the Cody Kangas household with my 3 kiddos and 2 bonus kids. And God bless her. She's incredible. And I am so incredibly thankful to her. And so the first shout out goes to the non-robot Alexa.
I was going to ask that. I was going to ask if this was also like a robot version, kind of like Flippy. Next shout out goes to the Yard Jockeys podcast. Yeah, that's a weird name. It's actually a pretty awesome podcast. We got on, Joel and I got on, and we are talking specifically about their niche, which is trucking, and really around brand of trucking in the trucking industry, how it's changed so dramatically and what trucking needs to do to try to pretty much get their groove back. So check that out. It's on the Yard Jockeys podcast. We're going to republish it on Chad and Cheese in the weeks coming. But until then, you can check it out on Yard Jockeys.
That is awesome. And honestly, for those of you who may be newer to the talent acquisition space, trucking recruiting is one of the hardest, or driver recruiting is one of the hardest types of recruiting to do, because those individuals don't typically hold a traditional resume. And so you've got to get at them very, very differently, kind of like stylists. And so Jacob Kramer is somebody who's in that space, and he's incredible at that world. But it's a very interesting thing. I will definitely be listening to that episode, Chad. That's awesome.
Why, thank you. And your last and final shout out.
My last shout out goes to the team at the Minneapolis WeWork. They were absolutely incredible and helped me get into a office very last minute because I was downtown for a meeting. And the team there shared with me that they have a free all-access code for the month of June. So if anybody here is listening and has children who may be home for summer, and maybe it's working from the house is not quite going so great, go visit WeWork.com, sign up for the all-access membership, and enter the code ALLACCESS100 in the provided promo code, which will give you free access for the remainder of June.
My last shout-out is a little somber. That's right, kids. It's been announced that 70millionjobs.com is shutting down. The site run by Richard Branson was focused on connecting great companies that offer second chance jobs for people with criminal records. We're always talking about how we want to give people second chances, and then initiatives focused on facilitating this can't get traction. So I believe this is once again, we need companies to actually stand up and support as opposed to just talk about all the time.
That is unfortunate. I just was pulling them up to get a little bit more context on them. And you're right, Chad, we need to do better at bringing in, you know, maybe groups that we haven't historically brought into the talent acquisition process, right? And making sure that they've got equal playing fields to be able to enter into our organizations. And so to see a company like this that's going over, it's definitely a big bummer and is going to leave a hole here in the industry. So we'll be looking to some of you other companies and job boards that may be listening to pay attention to this and see if there's ways that you can try to incorporate some of this into your product offering, because there's definitely going to be a hole in the market.
No question. You've got to remember 25% of the incarcerated individuals is here in the United States. We have more people in prison than anywhere else in the world per capita. Which means, again, second chances and having an opportunity to have a great pipeline of people who really want to do work. Last but not least, events, kids. RecFest, July 7th at Nebworth Park. We're really excited to be emceeing the Disrupt stage, which is the technology stage. And my major task that day, JCK, is actually to keep Joel from getting too drunk because we have to wrap up the day on stage. So he has to be, you know, intelligible. That's going to be a little bit harder than normal.
Well, Chad, may the odds be ever in your favor, my friend.
Yeah, I can only hope. I can only hope. Luckily, we don't have a bar in the tent this year. So that's actually good for me.
And if you haven't gotten your tickets to RecFest, make sure to absolutely do it. It's going to be an incredible show. I believe it's the largest open air conference, right, Chad?
It's big. Not to mention, they only have so many tickets that you always hear this. It's open air, but seriously, Nebworth Park, they're very strict about how many people they actually allow into their venue. So if you haven't got a ticket, especially if you're in London, go get your ticket today. And on to topics. All right, you might have heard about this, JCK, but TexKernel acquires Aquila. Not Akira from for you anime fans out there. Akila, this is from the press release. Akila marks the second step in the international buy and build strategy of TexKernel. TexKernel has been hungry since teaming up with strategic software investor Main Capital Partners in October of 2020. Last year, TexKernel acquired U.S.-based competitor and friends of the show, Sovereign, to solidify the group's position as global market leader in the AI-driven parsing and search and match technology. Akila offers two innovative solutions that assist customers with admin processes involved in the management of flex workers, including onboarding, hourly registration, time interpretation, digital signing, and vendor management. Together, Akila and TexKernel served a combined customer base of more than 2,500 organizations, including staffing organizations, payrollers, corporates, job boards, HR solution providers, and other participants in the broader HR market. So, JCK, TexKernel is a parsing and matching monolith, especially after the Sovereign acquisition. So why buy Akila?
Why buy Akila? Because you're trying to take over the world in this space? I think honestly, when I look at it, it's Akila's got a couple different pieces that TexKernel didn't. And if you're looking at building a very robust offering, especially in terms of like the tech that you've got, I think this is a really smart partnership. I will say though, I was a little bummed. So, Gerard, who is the CEO of TexKernel, I would highly recommend that you make your website accessible for the U.S. because the screen reading functionality was not able to be accessed on that one. And so I had to parse it to Speechify and then listen to it. But and that's just post head injury. I listened to all of my content. So just as a heads up, so that was my only bummer on that one. But in regards to Akila, yeah, I think it's, you know, I mean, what do you think, Chad? This is a world that you are very well. What do you see them acquiring with Akila that they did not have otherwise?
Well, I mean, TexKernel already powers staffing back-end technology solutions. And now with Akila, TexKernel's offering is just more powerful. Not to mention, it's brilliant from a wallet share play. So if you think about, let's say, for instance, from a staffing standpoint, TexKernel powering the parsing and search and match of a lot of those back-end systems. But they also see that there are these other issues, these other problems that this acquisition could prospectively, you know, bridge the gap of. If they can sell that into their current clients, you have better retention, not to mention you start to gain more wallet share. And we always talk about it on the podcast, staffing, it's recruiting as a business, where talent acquisition is recruiting as a job. Right. So in going straight after staffing with these types of products, you have a much better opportunity for traction in the market, which means revenue growth. So I think it's incredibly smart, not to mention after being tied to the boat anchor CareerBuilder and heading over to Main Capital, they've really been focused on better U.S. penetration, which is a huge pot of cash, and again, global wallet share initiatives.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things too is, you know, when they're looking at, if you've got resume, if you've got parsing, if you've got some of that AI, right? Like you also have an opportunity to have some pretty good analytics, right?
Yeah.
And having predictive analytics in terms of where there might be issues in an organization, and then being able to, on the flip side, be able to offer up the solutions for that, right, Chad? Like,
yeah.
That's a game changer, because if I could red, yellow, green what's going on in my organization and be able to know that, like, hey, you've got something coming on your radar that you might not be aware of, that's very important data. So very exciting.
Little stuff from the rumor mill here. Speaking of being tied to the CareerBuilder boat anchor, the rumor mill actually says that Broadbean was in the final stages of sale to StepStone, aka AppCast, and that deal was slowed down. It might even be dead right now because of the uncertainty that's happening in Ukraine. So it's interesting. CareerBuilder trying to sell off Broadbean. We knew that was happening. The rumor mill says StepStone was in, and then the world shifted, and it looks like that whole business is not going to happen. So once again, a little scoop, a little rumor from the Chad and Cheese podcast. You ready to move on?
Absolutely. What do we got next?
Europe is hungry. They are getting funding. They are acquiring things. It's amazing. AdZuna acquires GetWork. So here's from the AIM Group article. This acquisition will help AdZuna grow further in North America because GetWork is an established brand already working with around 50 Fortune 100 companies and has a team of skilled job search experts. It indexes millions of verified jobs each day directly from tens of thousands of employer career sites. GetWork was spun out of Minneapolis-based job market data company LinkedUp just a year ago. The business has been connecting job seekers with employers for over 20 years. GetWork is led by its president, Brad Squibb, and will work alongside AdZuna's 100-strong team. AdZuna said the acquisition will combine the enterprise focus of GetWork with the international reach and programmatic and technical expertise of AdZuna to create an effective offering for job seekers globally. AdZuna added 17 people to their headcount with this acquisition. So is this a pure play consolidation, do you think, or is this mainly U.S. penetration?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. So definitely the U.S. penetration. But one of the great things that, you know, you've got with GetWork is they've got some, I mean, they've gleaned some interesting things from the industry over the years.
Yes.
And so they started as JobDig, right? So like many, many, many moons ago. And I think their ability, you know, we're kind of savvy here in the Twin Cities. Our startup community is pretty sharp. We have some people who are quite good hackers at processes. And so if there's easier ways to, and I mean that in the most like appropriate ways, but if there's easier, more effective ways of doing something, right? Especially in the world today, don't we want to look at that? And so I think being able to add these two together, it's definitely, you know, combining powers to solve some big problems. So it's exciting.
You're right. JobDig came to us in the year 2000, right? So it wasn't a young organization. Rebranded, LinkUp. I mean, there was a lot of moving parts happening in the quote-unquote LinkedUp group. I did ask AdZuna CEO Doug Monroe, what pushed him over the edge to acquire? And here's what he told me. Fundamentally, it's about accelerating our U.S. growth and scale to help us create a genuine alternative to the likes of Indeed and LinkedIn, which I totally appreciate, not only because I hate Indeed. Other things that pushed us over the edge: enterprise-focused brand and business, blue-chip client base, great and very experienced team, genuine synergy, hate that word, but it makes sense, genuine synergy opportunities. For example, AdZuna can now offer global advertising opportunities to GetWork's clients, which are blue-chip clients, which they couldn't do before. And last but not least, a profitable, growing, well-run business and not part of the VC burn slash hype slash layoff cycle. So that's straight from Doug, the CEO of AdZuna. And pretty much what we were just talking about. I mean, it's great penetration. It's great from a consolidation and also a portfolio standpoint.
100%. And ultimately, right, like if we've got the right network of the jobs that are telling the right story of some of these larger blue chip companies, it's awesome. But also, it'll be interesting to see what their go-to-market strategy is for building their candidate base, right? Because you got to make this an attractive thing for candidates to know it's out there. And if I don't know it's out there, how am I going to find it? So it'll be interesting to see how they start to build, you know, that recognition here in the States.
Yes, yes. It's always hard to try to fight the money that Indeed throws at marketing. All right, moving on, talking about Coach Hub. That's right.
What did you say?
You need a water break.
You need a water break. Water is for cowards. Water makes you weak. Water is for washing blood off that uniform, and you don't get no blood on my uniform. Boy, you must be outside your mind.
Okay, probably not that intense type of coaching, but this is from TechCrunch. Digital coaching platform Coach Hub plans to further expand in the Asia Pac region of the world, raising a $200 million Series C.
Boy, you must be outside your mind.
The round comes just 8 months after the startup's last funding announcement. Founded in 2018, the company entered APAC a year ago with its regional headquarters in Singapore. The platform currently has more than 3,500 business coaches, which are spread across 90 countries, covering all time zones. Coach Hub has worked with more than 500 companies, including big names like Coca-Cola, Toyota, L'Oreal, Credit Suisse, and Twitter. One of the reasons Coach Hub is able to scale is because it uses, listen to this, kids, it uses AI-based tech to match employees with coaches. Coach Hub monetizes on a pay-per-month basis instead of session-by-session. The platform boasts 8 times ROI through coaching. A strong coaching culture benefits businesses by increasing productivity by 86%, employee engagement by 56%, employee retention by 32%. So first-time managers and emotional support are two big points as the pandemic and remote work changes the way that work looks for millions. So can companies deny they need coaching in this new landscape?
Can companies deny it? Yes. Should they deny it? Absolutely not. Right? I mean, what we've seen here at post-COVID is this dynamic shift. I was just talking with our team yesterday about that. It's shifted the paradigm from historically where it was employees first and human second.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing it flipped. You're human first and employee second, right? And so we're seeing a lot of these different digital coaching platforms that are coming into the space, which is really great, because ultimately there's a human, guys, behind that requisition number, or behind that resume, and that human has choices.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I just don't know how corporate America can deny it, period. Because especially if we have remote hybrid work, because you have a lot of those first time managers, even seasoned managers, who still need a little bump. They need somebody to talk to. They need somebody to have a soundboard off of. They have their peers for that, but that is inside the bubble. How do you get out of the bubble and talk to a business coach about these things? Not to mention the emotional fatigue that people have had via the pandemic, right? Sometimes they just need somebody to lean on, again, that is not their peer. I don't know how companies can deny this. The hard part for me, and this is always an issue for me, when you have a platform that is really dependent on humans, scaling is hard, right? Because humans don't scale well. So they are going to have to, I believe, start creating a lot of these coaches. If you're going out to try to find the individuals, that's one thing, but you're going to have to start creating a pipeline of coaches yourself so that in all these different countries, as they're trying to penetrate, you can scale appropriately and give the client what they need.
I agree with you, but I would also say that they've got to be looking at their analytics of who's asking for what services, yeah, and then what type of resources are we making sure that we're putting in consumable ways on demand.
Yep.
Right? Because one of the things that you're going to see with this, especially if you've got 3,500 coaches and you've got the right data infrastructure, is you're going to see those dots start to connect. Right? Like, okay, there's a trend here. This type of individual is looking for this type of service. Well, now, if I can connect those dots, right? Like, so this person looks like they're like with this from a buying standpoint, I'm going to serve up this type of resource to them. Like, that's where you start to use AI to work smarter, not harder. And I think it's really, really important, because you don't necessarily always need a coach. It's also making sure that consumable information to meet and raise that human is available on demand at their fingertips when they need it, yeah, right?
Very Netflix style, right?
Yes, 100%. And I love the fact that we're starting to actually support first-time managers, because, I mean, come on, Jed, how long have we just thrown the keys at somebody and expected they know how to drive a stick shift? It's ridiculous.
Yes, I agree 100%. We have been doing it wrong for decades, and God help us.
I think one thing that they've really got to look at, mm-hmm, is how do we enable making time for this versus finding time for this? Because having a digital coaching platform is great, right? So this is to the industry leaders that are out there that are considering these types of programs, right? Mm-hmm. When we're looking at that change management aspect, we've got to make time typically for it first. And I think Microsoft actually was presenting on this at Unleash, where they had recommended like putting focus time on a schedule, right? And so they did this really interesting kind of A-B test, Chad. They looked at, okay, if we educate the human on why this is important, what's the adoption or the buy-in? And they saw some adoption and buy-in. And then they had another test group where they educated the human on why it's important and also auto-enrolled them in it, right? And so with that, they saw this massive adoption and massive change. And so I think that the platform is really awesome, and it's great to have something to meet and raise your humans, right? But how are they going to be able to take that? And are we being intentional about making sure that, again, it's not about finding time, it's about making time for it. So mm-hmm. if you're trying to make the change management process, how do I start to nudge that person in that direction with some of those systems to ensure that they're taking advantage of these things? Because another benefit that goes into a SharePoint system that nobody knows exists it's not going to help the humans who work for you.
Agreed. Well, after the break, we're going to talk about it's raining AI with Google Kids. That's right. You might have heard about it. We'll be right back.
Human resources is supposed to be about humans. I mean, it's right there in the name. But when your hiring team is more like an assembly line, glued to their computers, manually posting heaps of jobs everywhere they can think of, that human part feels nowhere to be found. This is a new era. Pando IQ takes the mind-numbing copy-pasting and nerve-wracking guesswork out of the job posting process. When you plan a hiring campaign with Pando IQ, you tell us who you need. Then, before you ever spend a cent, we predict what it will cost to find them. Pando IQ chooses the ideal recruiting sites from thousands of options, targeting the ones your next great hire frequently visits, then fires off your ads at precisely calculated times, surfacing the most relevant applicants for you to pick from. Now you're free to get to know the best talent, build great teams, and take care of your humans. Pando IQ will do the rest, so you can get back to doing what the computers can't.
For more information on Pando IQ, go to pandologic.com. That's pandologic.com. All right, JCK, have you heard about this Google AI sentience kind of thing that's happening?
Shall we play a game?
I have.
So, okay, let's dig into this real quick. So this one comes from HuffPost, and a Google engineer is speaking out since the company placed him on administrative leave after he told his bosses an AI program he was working with is now sentient. Sentient basically means it's aware, right? And that's a pretty strong word, to be aware. Blake Limon reached his conclusion after conversing since last fall with Lambda, Google's artificial intelligence chatbot generator, what he calls part of a quote-unquote hive mind. He was supposed to test if his conversation partner, being Lambda, used discriminatory language or hate speech, as he and Lambda messaged each other recently about religion. The AI talked about personhood and rights. The story obviously blew up and was all over Twitter. Then Blake noted in a tweet that Lambda reads Twitter as well, quote, "It's a little narcissistic in a little kid kind of way, so it's going to have a great time reading all the stuff that people are saying about it," end quote. Google denies any sentience. Is Google trying to hide something here? That's the question, because Google's been talking about sentience.
No.
No?
I really don't think they are. I mean, it's Google. So first off, guys, if you're working for Google, you should know your privacy guardrails, right? With the technology that you're working with. I mean, can we just call that out for a second here? Google's not dumb. They're very, very smart, and they're very good at educating their humans on what do those rules mean. So like one of the things that's happened here is you have one of the humans who works for Google that's gone out and started to just story tell this. Like, guys, not a recommended thing. So first off, there's that piece there. But as it relates to the sentient aspect, and for those of you who are still kind of like grappling with like, what does this actually mean? There was a movie that came out in 2021 with Ryan Reynolds called Free Guy.
Yes, I love that show.
Right, it's a great movie. But what they found in this movie, and it's a perfect use case, so go watch the movie, but the AI actually started to learn. And so like was able to learn just like a human would. And so that's kind of what we're looking at here. Is this just machine learning, right? Looking at patterns in order to predict future patterns, mm-hmm. or is this actually learning on its own?
Well, first off, I think he was an idiot by publishing, you know, a conversation that he had with Lambda, because he's trying to prove to the world that this is actually happening. I personally think that there are several levels of AI, and then getting to sentient is the top level, period. Right? That this is Skynet Terminator shit. I think we're on our way there. There's no question. I don't think we're there now. I could be totally wrong. We might be. We might have been there for years. Who knows what DARPA's come up with. But in the end, we are going to have to, as you had said, storytell this one way or the other. This is either incredibly bad or it could be incredibly great for humankind. You just don't know how this movie ends.
It's just starting, right? But I think the first part of that is, especially for our space in the HR world, uh-huh. is to actually define what AI is. And so AI has become a buzzword in the HR space. But
yes.
Chad, you and I know that like there is a lot of different types of AI. And a lot of the things that we refer to as AI aren't actually AI. And so I
right.
think that education portion is really important because, you know, like if we just keep calling these things these buzzwords and just labeling them as this entire bucket when there's yeah. actually subsets of buckets, we're not going to actually get it right.
Yeah, no, totally, totally agree. We've got to be more educated. We've got to understand. And just because it says AI on it, it none of that matters. RPA, AI, ML, NLP, none of that matters. The big question is, will it solve the problem you need it to solve? Who cares what the acronym is?
Well, I'm starting with, what is the problem you
yes.
are looking to solve, right?
Yep.
Shout out to the commish who's out there listening, I hope, at the EOC.
Yep.
Keith and his team are awesome with helping, you know, come alongside of HR leaders to help educate them on the fact that, like, you guys, you don't buy tech to solve a problem. Like, tech is a vehicle to help you solve a problem. It is not the answer. It's part of the equation. And so what is the problem you're looking to solve? And then what guardrails are you going to put in place to make sure that your tech or whatever the heck you're doing is actually solving that problem, right? And not just when we start, but like always,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah. And everybody is looking for the easy button. And kids, the easy button doesn't exist. And if somebody's selling you the easy button, they're selling
Run.
You Elixir is what they're doing. But you know who's not selling the easy button? They're selling a kinder, gentler Microsoft. This news from the Insider. Microsoft will no longer ban staff from seeking roles at competitors and plan to disclose salaries on job ads. Microsoft employees will be free to seek jobs at the likes of Google and Amazon after the internet giant announced it will no longer enforce non-compete clauses against the majority of its staff. Microsoft has enforced them in some employee contracts, but effective today, the company is removing clauses from employee agreements and will not enforce existing clauses in the U.S. Wow. Number two, Microsoft also announced plans to improve pay transparency within its job adverts and committed to publicly disclose salary ranges in all internal and external U.S. job postings beginning no later than January 2023. No non-competes and salaries on jobs. Is this really a kinder and gentler Microsoft?
Yeah. I mean, this is huge. Also, bravo to their PR person who's looping all these together into this awesome press release because
yeah.
The disclosures on jobs, guys, like that's coming from a lot of legislature that's come through. So like it's something that a lot of companies need to get on board with. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, make sure to go Google it because it's really important. You're going to need to have visibility of not only pay, but also benefits, depending on where you're posting roles. And if you're remote, right, like you're going to have to make sure that's on all the roles because you could technically be showing this in Colorado or like
yep.
say New York. But
yep.
anyways, as it relates to like the NCC's aspect. So those non-compete clauses, again, like thank you, Microsoft, for showing the world that yes, you can. So going back to like, what are we trying to solve with whatever it is that we've put in place? Does it still solve the thing that we're looking to do?
Mm-hmm.
And like, For example, historically, we've had non-compete clauses. Are they hurting us or are they helping us? Microsoft going and saying, we're not going to enforce them any longer? It's brilliant. Way to go, Satya.
I love it. And this is a leadership thing. That's the biggest key here. Microsoft salary transparency on job ads, a form of pay transparency through annual reports, plus dropping non-competes. I believe these are all amazing and wonderful steps that need to happen, although it's just a moment in time. And if it wasn't so hard to find people right now, would this even be the conversation? We need these initiatives to stick long-term, and we need them to be more broad-based throughout corporate America. So what are your thoughts on drawing a line in the sand through regulation and making these practices standard, as opposed to, well, we've got a leader that's in place now. He puts them in place. The next one can rip them right out. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we need, it's an interesting topic, right? Probably could have an entire conversation on this topic. But at the end of the day, like, the world historically isn't the world today. And so there's a one-way door too, guys. So we're going through this. You can't go back to the way that things were. And so organizations, if you're looking at adopting things, you should be looking at adopting those things to begin. These are a comma. They are not a period. You are never done iterating or innovating or trying to figure out how to get it right. And the second you put a period on it, or like try to go backwards to undo it, that's where you really get, you lose that authenticity. And honestly, the employees are seeing that too, right? So
yeah.
I think it's great, again, to see that companies are moving towards this, especially ones as large as Microsoft, right? Because we're watching them. These smaller organizations, even some of these larger, you know, Fortune 100 companies mm-hmm. are watching them. This is giving, again, the model for what this looks like. It doesn't all have to be bad. You can try something else and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And the other piece, and we haven't specifically called this out, but the reason that Microsoft is so, I guess, they've made pay transparency such a priority is for females and people that are coming from different diverse groups to make sure they've got a level playing field. So like, y'all, come on, it's 2022. Let's try to get work right. And having those pay transparency on there, it really is going to help to make that level playing field.
Yeah. And I mean, that's part of it, right? Because you have the new individuals who are coming in and you can start to set a baseline for them. What about all those individuals who are seeing, you know, inequities today, right? So I mean, it's two sides of the same coin. So you definitely have to ensure that anybody who's coming in, you start to get a good baseline and you start paying, again, from an equity standpoint. Then you have to go back, which Microsoft has been doing. I definitely want to say that. They've also been publishing around pay transparency and around the actual worker composition. So that in itself, could it get better? Could you go deeper? Of course, but this is a great place to start. But again, I don't feel good until this is actually written and signed in a regulation so that everybody has to do it.
100%. And also to the leaders that are out there who are looking at this, maybe you're a little nervous or scared, or maybe it's a TA leader, it's talent acquisition, that's like, okay, we got this. We're going to get this right. To your point, Chad, it's not just about getting it right for the people coming into your organization. It's about getting it right for the people who are in your organization. So if you have pay gaps, if your women are being paid less, or maybe like whatever it is, before you go and implement that thing, have conversations with your counterparts in HR, in talent management. Make sure, what's our strategy for bringing people up? Because before we bring people in, we've got to make sure that we're taking care of them. Because again, it's about getting this right. And that means you're going to have to talk to other people in your organization. And if you don't, guess what's going to happen? Those humans are going to leave, right?
Yep.
So like, if you want to slow down that the turnover, start to talk to your peers. How are we solving for this? Again, not just for the people coming into the organization, but for the people who are in your organization.
Amen, sister. And after talking about companies who are getting smarter about talent, let's after this break, we're going to talk about working smarter, not harder. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
Okay, so we've heard this for years. Work smarter, not harder. Totally get it. But this next story takes it over the edge. A call center worker records herself working from home, and that's in air quotes, working from home in a Starbucks drive-thru. So while some employers may be pushing to get workers back in the office, many workers have fully transitioned to working from home. Pew Research observed earlier this year that roughly 6 in 10 U.S. workers who say their jobs can mainly be done from home, 59%, are working from home all or most of the time. Well, it's hilarious because Sherry, TikTok handle, I love to giggle too, took it to the next level with a TikTok recording of her, complete with headset. She had the headset on, talking to a customer while going through the Starbucks drive-thru. Sherry says this was a video, it was a joke, but many TikTok commenters didn't care. One wrote, I'm here to support. Work smarter, not harder. So is this a bridge too far as companies try and pull remote workers back into the office? Is Sherry doing more harm than good?
This one, it kind of boils my blood a little bit. So yeah. Dear industries, especially the storytelling media industries, stop giving companies more reason to pull their people back into the office, right? Like,
yes.
This is the exception of somebody. And frankly, she's still doing her job, right? Like, she's still serving the customer. But we've got to stop highlighting the exception and the person who's doing the thing wrong. Because, like, our goal should be to get this right, right? So I get a little passionate on this topic, Chad. What do you think?
I think it's funny. It has nearly a million views on TikTok. But at the end of the day, this does not do what we need it to do. We don't need to give employers more fuel to the we need you back in the office fire. So yes, it's funny, but it's not something that we need. We need really to focus on outcomes. And yes, if she's doing her job and she's going through Starbucks and she can do that and her outcomes are good on her job, then who the hell cares where she does it from? But again, employers are looking for a reason to pull your ass back in the office. Don't give them any.
Yep. Yep. And to the humans who may be listening to this, thinking about posting something on TikTok. Yes, it's got a lot of likes, but is what you're doing trying to solve for the greater good? If the answer is no or maybe not, don't post it. Just don't post it.
It's all about the views, JCK. It is all about the views. And hopefully it's all about the listens because we had you on this week. And that's definitely going to be a draw as Cheeseman tries to keep the Canadian geese in Canada. But I appreciate you taking the time, you joining us, and hopefully it felt good.
Oh, this has been so much fun, honestly. Thank you so much for having me. It's always great to have conversations with you. And I hope you and Joel consider figuring out a way to start storytelling some of these companies who are getting things right. Because again, there's it seems like we've got some issues, especially in like the DEI space and some of those areas where
yes.
We keep telling the stories of how people are getting wrong. And what we really need is to show the companies who are getting it right. So
Send them our way. Again, talking about Microsoft this week, that's big and hoping that spreads. But until next week, if somebody wants to find out more or connect to you, do they find you on LinkedIn? Where do they find you?
Absolutely. So find me on LinkedIn. Definitely you can find me there. Also, my company is Plum, and that's www.plum.io. We are a assessment. Well, historically, it's been called an assessment, but I would argue it's an alignment tool to help uncover what are the things that drives a human and how can we help try to find work that's aligned to those drivers. So you can find more about Plum online. And again, Chad, thanks so much for having us. This has been great.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. That's another one in the books.
We out.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses. And not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.